If you have your Bibles, turn with me. We're going to finish, God willing, chapter. No, we're going to finish. We're going to finish. 1 John chapter 2, as we go through the book of 1 John, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. We see there's a hurricane out there in the ocean, and it went to from a storm to a 5 in like 3 days. And I believe it's a 4 now, going to hit Jamaica, Haiti, bless you, and other islands there. And we look back and say, oh, great, you know, it's pretty bad, but thank God it's not happening to us. And thank God it's not happening to us. Most likely it's not going to hit us. There is a storm that is coming. I'm not a doomsday pastor. Scripture says that in the end times, people will not stand for sound doctrine, and they will persecute those who do. Now, if you look back in my mother's generation in the 40s, 50s, and it came around in the 60s, if you look back on the times like that, the programming was unbelievable. You had Leave It to Beaver, and you had the other shows. I can't remember them all. You had Lassie, just good quality stuff now. Now, Father's Knows Best, Captain Kangaroo. I watched that guy. Things are totally different now. I believe Sesame Street is going to have a gender something. And so the world is changing. Things are happening around us. When you look at where the world was at one time and how it's snowballing now, rejoice and be glad because God is with us. We are not appointed for God's wrath. We are appointed for His grace and His mercy. And we will be in the heavenly places with Him. When the wrath of God comes down upon those who have rejected Him, we've spoken about there'll come a time where people cannot believe. Because time and time again, they've rejected the message. And yet God, His word is faithful and it's true. And so what does it mean for us? Well, for us today, it means that we need to be strong, implanted in the Word of God, in the relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because God wants to use us to save the world. In God's calculation to save men, He planned us being a part of that. He tells the disciples the last task for them, commission, was to go and make disciples, followers of me. Now, a disciple is not just a convert. It is someone who follows Jesus. To make followers of me, that their life has been transformed and changed by the power of the Holy Spirit, and now they say, hey, I'm yours, Lord. I'm going to follow you. And you're the example that God has put next to them to look at and say, oh, okay, this is how I'm supposed to act. This is what I should do in times of difficulty. I should trust. I don't understand everything, but Lord, I know you're with me. And that peace that transcends all understanding guides our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. In 1 John chapter 2, we left off last week. In verse 17, we'll pick it up in verse 18. Little children, in this last hour, as you have heard, that the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come, by which we know that we are in the last hour. There are many signs of Antichrist, figures that we can all say, well, right off the bat, Hitler, right? Hitler was somewhat an antichrist, anti-Jesus Christ, and he was a murderer and a killer and a liar. And that's what the Antichrist would do. So we see pictures of them all over. We see Saddam Hussein and all those leaders in the past. Mao, these people killed millions of their own people. And yet, because the nation has been dumbed down in its history and its education, people don't understand that. And people want to follow that direction of communism and such. So we're in the last hours because these things are happening so fast. Knowledge is increasing. These are one of the things that Scripture says would happen in the end times. So there's generations that are grown up. They don't know what it's like to be without a cell phone. Can you imagine that? They don't know what the dial is on a phone. Remember the dials? Ring, ring, remember that? That's foreign to... My kids never saw that. We didn't have phones back then like that. Do you imagine not being... Now, you can't go anywhere without getting on your phone and looking up something or watching something or reviewing something. Knowledge is increasing. How is that good, Pastor? Oh, it's fantastic, because you know why? We had more hits on our Facebook live radio program than we do in this church. We had 300 and something people watching it. That's more than we have in here. And so we're going to utilize every opportunity, because Satan's going to use it for bad, but God meant it for good, right? And so all the opportunities that we have, we're going to reach out. We're going to try to get people saved. My friend Johnny and Gisela are here from Sweden. They'll be on the radio again tonight. He was just telling me before we started that, you know, he was on the beach and he's here on vacation, and he ran into some guy and he started talking. The guy got saved. Boom. On vacation. God will use you anywhere, anyhow. Are you allowing God to use you? That's the key. Here I am, Lord, send me. Oh, things might be difficult in my life, but you are being an example in that difficulty for someone else. You might not like it. You might not have planned it. But God says all things work for the good of those who are in Christ. Those who are called according to his purpose, right? Those that love the Lord. So verse 19, it says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. He's speaking of the antichrists, plural, in verse 18. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. So what is he saying here? Well, Jesus said in the last days there'll be many false Christs, false proclaimers that will arise. Many men declaring themselves to be the Savior. Many men who would come into the church. Scripture says that they've come in unnoticed. So you think about it. I said last week that, you know, again, back in my mom's generation, politicians would want to come into the church today and tell you about themselves. Now they want nothing to do with the church because the church is going to hold them to another standard. So now they've crept into, ungodly men have crept into our political system. Same thing happens in the church. Ungodly men creep in. Oh, he's a good speaker. Oh, he's a nice guy. And we'll overlook all the other parts of his life, but he's our guy. We chose him. And now his doctrine begins to take over the church. These things are happening today. And this is why we are in the last days, because Scripture says that there'll be an apostasy, a falling away of the faith. Long-time denominational churches like the one we are in today are beginning to split over doctrine. Some to heresy and some are staying in the faith. So we're seeing the apostasy, the falling away of the faith. What are we to do? Stand firm. Rejoice. God is with us, right? And what do we do? To go out and buy a ton of guns and swords and hang out at our house till the battle starts? No. No, just the opposite. Love, smile. You're going to stand out if you're smiling. Some people think you're crazy, but listen, smiles are contagious. Look at someone and smile, and they are going to smile back, right? Or they're going to stick their tongue out. One of the two, right? Depending on their heart. Smiles are contagious. Love on people. This is what we're to do today. And this is what is not happening in the world. And so those who were with us have left us. And it proves that they were not of us. They were not one of us. They've come in to the church. He's speaking about the church. They've come into the church. And they hung out with us. I had a guy I used to go to church with when I first got saved. He was on fire for the Lord with me and going to church and studying and writing stuff down. Just, I couldn't wait every Wednesday to leave work and go to service. I hadn't seen him in years and years. And then one day, I ran into him and it's all blank and this and blank and that. His language totally changed. It was like, what happened to you? Who's taken over? Because this isn't the guy that I knew. This was the guy I knew before we started going to church. And then he went back to that old self. So was he saved or not? I'm not the one to answer that, but his actions don't reflect that, right? Because listen, if the Holy Spirit now dwells within you, you're going to start taking on the characteristics of the one that dwells within you, right? You're going to start to be loving and kind and compassionate as long as you're surrendered to the Holy Spirit and allowing the Holy Spirit to influence you, right? Now, we can let the world influence us and our physical old nature influence us, but if I'm allowing God influence me, things are going to change, right? I'm not going to be the same person that I was. I'm going to be different. And though my situation might not look good, I'm going to be an overcomer because God is with me. And his promise is that he will get us through these things. And so there's people that creep in, and then you see them later on and like, hey, you know what? You never really were a believer. You were just coming because you were getting attention from people. And, you know, I mean, that's just my opinion. I'm not the one to judge salvation. But Scripture says these antichrists were part of the church, paraphrasing. They were with us. They were among us. But then they left. They left. The Antichrist himself is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come, the Scriptures tells us, by which we know that we are in the last hour. And so Boyce tells us that the word Antichrist occurs in the Bible only in the letters of John 5 times in 4 verses. 1 John 2, 4, and it's frequent. And it's very important. The Antichrist goes by many different titles. The little horn in Daniel 7. The king of fierce countenance in Daniel 8. The prince that shall come in Daniel 9. Willful king in Daniel 11. And the one who comes in his own name in John chapter 5. The son of perdition. The man of sin. The lawless one in 2 Thessalonians. And so he's named. It wasn't just mentioned one time. It's very important for us to know this one to come. We won't be here when he comes. So you know. The Antichrist will not be revealed until that which is restrained is taken away. And that's in Thessalonians. And that was a study. You can go to our webpage, calvarypb.com, and listen to that teaching. That it's the rapture of the church, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ is taken away. And then it says the Antichrist then will be revealed, the one. He'll make a treaty of peace with Israel for 7 years. Why does he have to make a treaty of peace? Because it would appear that things are happening really bad, right? Think about it. That's what's restraining evil today is taken away. This is going to be a bad place. This is going to be. So our message is hope, right? You don't got to stay here. You don't have to be a part of this. Come join the king, right? The train is coming, right? That song. Come, people get ready, right? The train is coming. He's coming. He came the first time for salvation. And that salvation is available for everyone right now. He's coming the second time to judge those who have rejected him for their sins. The wrath of God is falling upon the world. The physical and the spiritual world as well. So we don't have to worry. This isn't, oh my goodness, what's going to happen? Listen, we're making our way to the book of Revelations. Now, there are some denominations that, you know, the bishop or the head guy determines what in that diocese they teach. There's a bulletin and everybody teaches from that exact bulletin. Calvary Chapels and other denominations are not necessarily that way. We're teaching chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Now, there's a couple pastors' conferences out there, and I'm tuning into some other sermons, and we're all teaching the same thing. Not all of us, but a significant amount of us are teaching the end time events in Scripture. How does that happen? I don't know. The Holy Spirit is drawing us, right, to teach these things so that we know that we're wise, and listen, that we're not shaken by something that someone says or something that we see. Listen, the Antichrists, plural, and the Antichrist has power. The Antichrist himself will do miracles in front of people. So just because someone does a miracle does not necessarily mean it's from God, right? When Pharaoh's men threw down their staffs, what happened? They turned into snakes. How did that happen? They had the power to do that. There is an evil power. They are not equal powers. Like Jesus and Satan are not brothers that are fighting in heaven, that some doctrines, denominations teach. They're not equal powers at all. Satan is a created being, and Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But there'll be power. And the reason why I'm bringing that up is because it's going to fool some people, even in the church. Why are they going to be fooled? Well, maybe they never even put time and effort into studying the truth of Scripture. Maybe their relationship was God. Hey, you know, I'm going to pop in church now and again, and you know, if they're preaching the Bible, I'll listen. But that Bible never gets picked up at home. There's no studies going on. I was talking to someone the other day. Listen, when in the Scripture it says when the spirits were taken out, they didn't put anything back in. The spirits came back and the person was worse off than he was in the beginning. What happened? Well, they didn't fill themselves with Jesus Christ and the Word of God and His power. You may walk away from an addiction, but you could be just as miserable on your way to hell than anything else. There's a lot of sober people going to be in hell. We need to be born again of the Spirit of God, empowered by the Spirit, filling our life with the Word. So that when something happens, what comes out? What comes out is whatever's been put in, right? So in the BC days, the four-letter words were coming right out, right? Because that's what was in me, a hard, cold heart, right? But when I'm filling myself with the Spirit of God, drawing closer to God and allowing Him draw closer to me, then what's been put in me begins to flow out. Oh, it's okay. I have more patience. And God's still working on me with the patience part, I must say. But I'm not the same person I was. And listen, there's people watching. People watching you. And they want to know this Jesus. Why? Because they've looked at your life and said, wow, they have something I need. Because I can't do this on my own. You know, it's interesting. Scripture, whether we're in the Genesis book or the book of Revelations, was written by those prophets for that time, but also for us. The words that are spoken in Scripture are meaningful to us as well. And so there are people that are going to come in and out of your life. They're going to come in and out of the church. When I started the ministry, I had a pastor tell me that every 4 years, the amount of people will stay relatively around the same, but the faces will change. And it's true. People stay for a little while. They'll leave for a little while. And if God's calling you to go somewhere else, that's fine. I'm not saying that, don't stay here if God doesn't want you here. Go where God wants you to be, right? But it's those who are looking for recognition, those who are looking for something. Because listen, there was 5,000 people that were following Jesus, plus their families. And all they wanted was the gifts that were coming. They wanted nothing to do with the Savior. Because those are the same ones that said, crucify Him, and weren't at the cross supporting Him, right? And so there are people that will come into the church to get what they can from the church and the people in the church, because Scripture talks about wolves in sheep's clothing, deceiving the people around in the church. So as we become stronger, listen, the church becomes stronger too, because I believe it's a healthy church that can purge itself of poisons, right? That's what your body does, right? If a foreign thing comes in the body fights against that. That's why we're not to accept the things of the world in the house of God. God has determined how we come to Him and how we act and how His church is going to function, what we're going to do and what we're not going to do. God determines that. The Apostle Paul, he used as, if you will, our New Testament pastor who is told us what we're going to do in His church, in God's church. And so we have direction, and we're going to follow that. So as a healthy body, listen, if someone comes in with a heresy or living in sin openly and rejecting the message of God, then we need to purge them from among the people of God. Now, I've got a lot of flack from that throughout the years, because we have asked some people to leave the church for these very reasons. And it's one thing if you don't know. Because I met with someone who was dealing with an issue of sin, And I said, you know, I'm not sure that you really know the ramifications of this. And I went through and made copies of everything, spent time and time in counseling. And, you know, here's what God says. And if you're going to reject that and continue to operate in this sinful nature, then I'm going to have to ask you not to come back. Because they were in a position where they were singing at the time. It's been many years. And they didn't come back. Now, I'm not saying they're going to hell because they left their church. But as a church, we need to be steadfast, immovable, not shaken, abounding in the work of God. And our lives will begin to reflect that as we love one another as Christ has loved us. And so, again, a healthy church can purge itself of poison. The compromising and the false Christian will not feel comfortable setting down roots in a healthy church, right? You ever be around somebody and you just mention the word Jesus and they start squirming, right? There's an uncomfortableness about them. Why? They're not walking in the Spirit of God. When the name of Jesus is spoken around us, what do we do? Oh, praise the Lord. Right? Awesome. Yeah. To them, oh. They don't want anything to do with that Jesus. I told the story 100 times. My mother used to say, Ken, do you know Jesus loves you? I'm like, yeah, Mom, what's with this Jesus stuff? I went to Mass. I'm okay. Leave me alone. But now, when the name of Jesus is spoken, it has a whole new meaning, right? Amen. It has a total new meaning. And my life reflects that, and yours will as well. Let's pick it up in verse 20 through 23. But you, having an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things, I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Not even white lies. It's not written there, but I added that. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is the Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. The nation of Israel believes in the Father. They do not believe in the Son. And here it says that they have neither if they reject the Father and the Son. So here John refers to the common, this anointing. Anointing means to be dedicated, an outpouring, a seal or a guarantee. Speaking of the anointing of God that falls upon all that believe. In Acts chapter 19, verse 11, it says, now God worked unusual miracles by the hand of Paul. It never says that there's a special anointing. It doesn't speak of that. So in case someone says, well, that there's a special anointing upon that person. Well, no, God gives some people gifts. And Paul was doing amazing miracles by the hand of God, but it doesn't speak of a special anointing. And so there could be a heresy coming to the church. Well, you got to have the special anointing to be part of this group. You got to have circumcision, right? This is what they were saying in the first century. And you got to have, if you really love God and you want to be a true Jew, you got to be circumcised, right? They did that. And Peter says, Peter started to change his mind. Like, you know what? That sounds good. Maybe we should be circumcised. And Paul came in and rebuked him. No, we're not going back to the law, but we're moving forward in the Spirit. And so this idea of anointing is literally to be blessed with oil. We believe this was the reason by one of the punishments given to John in his persecution. The Roman emperor Domitian cast John into a boiling vat of oil as if to say, you know, here's your anointing. John emerged from that vat of boiling oil unharmed because he was anointed indeed by God. And so this isn't to say that he speaks of that we know the truth and we know the truth. We don't need teachers. Of course we do, because teachers encourage us in their word. They teach us the word, and they remind us, right? Sometimes we forget. There's some things in Scripture that I read, I'm like, oh, like it was the first time I ever read it. Right? You ever be that? I've read the entire Bible. And I've read some stuff like, oh, wow, who put this in here? I didn't read this last time I read it, right? Because it's just fresh, it's new, and it's the Lord speaking to us, giving us direction, encouraging us. Listen, can I encourage you today? God wants you to be encouraged because He's on your side. He loves you and He wants to work with you. He wants to work with you. Whatever is happening in your life right now, you're not alone. Satan will make you feel alone, but you're not alone. God is with you. God is with you. He's directing you. He's empowering you. And his promise is that he would never leave you. So it's not like he comes for a little while. Say, well, this is too much for me. I'm out of here. Let me get Peter over here or Gabriel to handle this one. No, no. The Spirit is with you forever. This is why he says, I must go to the Father. And if I go to the Father, I will send you the Helper. The Holy Spirit is a helper as well. These are not just words in Scripture that I'm reading to you. I've experienced the blessings of the Lord because I'm a son of the Lord. You're a son of God. And God wants the best for you. But we're living in a fallen world. Things are difficult. Why? Sin. Rejection of God. Rejection of God's plan. And those who would lie about Jesus want to influence those who believe in Jesus. They want to come in and they want to add to the faith and they want to deny some things. So what is Satan's plan? Deny. Right? Deny. Did God really say? And you shall surely not die. So what is the first thing he did? Was question God's word, right? Did God really say? He is the Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. So you cannot have one without the other. The Bible defines Christ as the Messiah who is fully God and fully man and perfectly revealed God the Father to us. He is the Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Don't forget that. Because there's a lot of people deceived. And it's that deception that is going to drive them into hell. Verse 24, therefore, in other words, in light of the danger of the spirit of Antichrist, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. Listen, don't forget the words. This is why there's a gift of the teaching is to remind us, don't forget that God has saved you. Saved you from what? Eternal punishment. Eternally. And the wrath that will be poured on in the end times. The message is the same. Nothing's changed. It's the same God who in the Old Testament, when Israel disobeyed God, God punished them. And when they obeyed God, God blessed them. It's the same God in the New Testament. What happened? We're living in a time of grace. He's now paid the penalty for sin, and he's calling us, hey, get on the boat. We're living in a time of grace where God is not punishing us for our sins. Thank God he's not. And now is the time of salvation. Listen, all of us know someone around us that's not saved. Are you going to let them go to hell? You know the truth. You have a responsibility. God has revealed it to you. And he wants to use you to save them. Now, I would imagine almost all of us in this room are saved as a result of God using someone else. Whether it was a parent praying for you or somebody planted seeds in your heart at some point and somebody else came along and watered it. We're to do the same thing, right? So therefore, in light of this danger of the Antichrist, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. What is abiding in you? The Word of God. The Spirit of God. And if that abides in you, abiding means living, hanging out, being a part of you, then the Son, you will have the Son and the Father. And this is absolutely necessary for the Christian life. John will use the word abide 6 times in these few verses. And the idea repeated throughout the New Testament. Spurgeon says this, abiding in Jesus, living in Jesus, is not a passive thing. It is an active thing. How many would you agree? Every day it's active. Every day there's a challenge, right? Every day there's a physical challenge and there's a spiritual challenge. And Paul says that he struggled with it too. These things that I want to do, I don't do them. And the things that I don't want to do, I keep doing it. What a wretched man that I am. So we can look at his life and say, yes, it's difficult. It's not easy. And it's okay to tell somebody, man, it's hard. I'm having a hard time. Pray for me. I need your prayer. I need your help. I need your encouragement. Everything around us wants to discourage us, right? But God wants us to be encouraged, to lift up our spirits of joy and peace, no matter what our situation is. Now, in Jody's heart, spoke with her yesterday, she says, you know, I'm fighting. I'm going to fight to the end. But if God's calling me home, I'm okay with that. And so if God calls her home, we rejoice, because everything that we're hoping for and praying for, she's going to experience real soon. No more suffering. No more pain. Presence of your Creator, God Almighty. Now, on this side of heaven, that's kind of difficult to deal with, apart from the Spirit of God, right? Apart from understanding the ultimate plans. So if that what abides in you, you abide in it, we have the Son and the Father as well. Verse 25, and this is the promise that has He promised us, eternal life. When the truth, what we heard from the beginning, lives in us, then God lives in us. When God lives in us, we have a promise. In this kind of life, the promise of eternal life is real. Because everything we have right now is on a time continuum, right? We live in time and space. I can't comprehend eternity. Listen, I have a hard enough time comprehending the Trinity. How do we put it together? I don't know. And people give you all kinds of illustrations. Well, it's kind of like an apple. No, it's not an apple. It's like an egg. You know, there's the yolk, there's the white, and there's the shell. Yeah, but it still doesn't make sense. Right? But God says believe, and we believe. We trust. Verse 26 to 27. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. This is the reason why he's writing the letter here in verse 26. These things I write to you concerning those who try to deceive you. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. And you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches as concerning all things and is true and is not a lie. And just as it was taught to you, you will abide in him. So you do not need that anyone teach you, just as it's stated in 1 John verse 20. He says, you already know these things. John tells us again that the anointing received from God guides us into truth. But we need teachers to encourage us and remind us and bring us along a different teaching level. God's confirming in our hearts that we have received salvation in truth from what we have learned from the beginning. Why is he saying that? Because you may have believed scriptures in the beginning as it was taught to you, and in your walk throughout time, you may have been influenced by someone or something or some church. And he's saying, go back to the beginning. What was in the beginning? The Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God. And the Word was with God. And through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made. And the Word became flesh and it dwelt among us. Who became flesh? Jesus became flesh. Jesus is the Word of God. And the Word of God will never change. Will never die. Will live forever. And it is the truth. This is what he's talking about. Why? Verse 26, we read it. These things I write to you concerning those who try to deceive you. Satan's goal is for you to believe something that God doesn't want you to believe. That if I say so many prayers and kneel before a statue, that my sins are forgiven. That's what Satan wants. Satan wants you praying to dead relatives that they would speak on your behalf to God, because God himself, you know, wasn't enough to die on the cross. You need somebody in heaven to speak on your behalf. We have someone in heaven to speak on our behalf. It's the one who died on the cross. Jesus himself is our high priest. He's our ambassador in heaven. He's seated at the right hand of God. And what is he doing? He's speaking about you. He's thinking about you. Man, that is great. That is great. God is speaking about you. He's encouraged about you. He cares about you. He has a plan for you. And every time we serve God with a right heart, we're putting treasures in heaven. Putting treasures in heaven, right? If you don't have a pension plan here, you've got one in heaven. And the stock market can't change it. verse 28 and 29. Yeah, we're going to finish the chapter. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Our hearts, listen, the guy's going to get ready to serve communion shortly. Our hearts need to be looking to the heavenly places. Not that we're standing out in front of our house, but our mind would be concerning the things above, that he's coming. But they know, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Our lives is to be the practicing of righteousness. Now, there was a time where we were practicing sin, right? Some of us got very good at it. But then God saved us. And now our mission, our plan, our goals and desires become his goals and desires. Why? He's abiding in us. He's living in us. And he says that if we practice righteousness, then that's the outward appearance that we're born again. Our life reflects the Spirit in me, the hope of glory. And that's what baptism shows, that there's an outward proclamation of an inward change. I've died to self and I've risen anew in Christ Jesus. And so it's at the cross that everything changed. The sins were paid. Those who believed, the Holy Spirit is imparted to them. And then we've been redeemed back to the Father.